And Paul's going to come and bring our reading to us.
The reading is taken from Luke chapter 19, verse 1 to 10. Luke chapter 19, verse 1 to 10. And I'll be reading from the New International Version. Zacchaeus, the tax collector. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." This is the word of the Lord.
I'm going to invite Neil to come and speak to us now, but before he does that, we're going to pray for him. So come and let me pray for you, Neil. Loving God, we thank you so much for Neil. Thank you for bringing him to share this message with us this morning. Lord, we pray that your spirit would anoint him. We pray that the words he says will be the words that you want us to hear. We pray that your spirit will speak to us clearly. Help us, Lord, to be able to be ready to listen, to hear what you want to say, and to respond and put it into action. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks, Lisa. Well, hi, everyone. I'm Neil, and there's another side to the Easter Bunny chocolate, if I remember rightly. Lisa didn't want to share it with me. There was an ask for the years. Let me just say that the Lord loves a cheerful giver, Lisa. And Lisa wasn't a cheerful giver then, but we're going to hear this morning about somebody who was changed and became this cheerful giver. Let me just put my glasses on. I'm not used to speaking. I normally just have a small like lectern, so you'll have to forgive me. I move about a little bit. You know, one of our greatest needs, or one of your greatest needs, and one of my greatest needs is to feel valuable, that my life, that your life matters, and that you're worthwhile. And because of that crave within your life and that crave within my life, you and I will find ourselves looking around and comparing ourselves with other people. Nearly everybody here this morning will have thought about what they're going to wear this morning. Some of you will have had more than one outfit on this morning. Some of you will have asked partners, "Well, how do I look?" I did that this morning. I sort of a visitor here this morning. I thought, "Well, do I put my shirt in? Do I put my shirt out?" So I consulted my wife, and my wife said, "If you want to look scruffy, put your shirt out. No offence. If you want to look a little bit smarter at Central, put your shirt in. I don't know what you think. Should it be in or should it be out?" Some of you will have asked your partners, "Does this make my bum look big?" Or whatever language you use here in Chelmsford. Now, in our society, psychologists tell us that we base our self-worth on four things. And in our society, the first thing that we judge ourselves on is our appearance. Do I look good enough for others to accept me? We judge ourselves on our achievement. Have I achieved enough to make other people feel and think that I'm a success? We judge ourselves on approval. If others like and accept me, then I must be worthwhile. I must matter. We judge ourselves finally on affluence. Have I got enough money, enough possessions? If I get enough money and enough possessions and have enough prestige, then people won't look down on me. So we strive for appearance. We strive for achievement. We strive for approval and we strive for affluence. And the problem with all these four standards is that none of them is stable. Let me demonstrate this. Here's me in my prime. September 1979. That was part of my wedding photo. And here I am on holiday last year, 2016. There's a difference. I've gone from John Travolta to John Prescott in 32 years. And that creates an issue for me. And if you want to build self-esteem and make it last, then you've got to build on something that won't change. And there's one thing that won't change. And we're going to learn about this morning, but the one thing that won't change is what God actually thinks about you and thinks about me. He still loves me, he still loves you, he still forgives me, he still forgives you. And you're still his. No matter where you are this morning, you belong to him because he created you for a purpose. You're not here by accident this morning. You belong to him. And there's a very good example of this predicament, this dichotomy in the New Testament. And it involves this man named Zacchaeus, a tax collector in Jericho, who when Paul read to us, we all heard of this morning. And this actually, and people don't realise this, but this is an Easter story. Next week is Palm Sunday, and this incident took place sometime in the week before Palm Sunday. And Jesus is passing through. That's what Luke tells us. He's not going to stay in Jericho. Luke tells us, he says, Jesus is going to pass through Jericho on his way to the Easter event of Jerusalem next week, Palm Sunday. And if there was ever a man who needed a stronger sense of self-worth, it was Zacchaeus. Because in the four ways we evaluate ourselves, he stuck out at least three of them. His appearance was not the most beautiful. He wasn't nice to look at because of his short stature. And we read that word short in our NIV, but if you go into the original Greek, it's a derogatory term. It just doesn't mean small. It means childlike. It means despicable. This isn't a society where people didn't like kids. That's why the disciple says, let's keep the kids away from Jesus. And so we've got this derogatory term of this childlike person. His main achievement was cheating. His personal approval was the pits. Because he was a turncoat who collected taxes from his own people and gave them for the government. And what people don't realise, to be a tax collector was a franchise. You paid to be a tax collector. You weren't employed to be a tax collector. You made profit by taking extra. This guy's the... Have we got any tax collectors here? Can you just stand up? There we are. This is the kind of person we're hearing about this morning. I want to bring this rail. Thank you. But you're a nice... You don't take your cut, do you? No. Well, there we are. This wasn't a nice person. The whole community despised him. And as a result, this guy called Zacchaeus was miserable on the inside. And how do I know that this guy's miserable on the inside? I know that because you can't have a guilty conscience and feel good about yourself at the same time. Everybody was telling him what he was like. But one day, a brief encounter with Jesus changed his life when he learned how much he mattered to this God. Just like you. Just like I, because it's the same God, because the Zacchaeus story is our story. And this story, Zacchaeus, illustrates three truths. First of all, Jesus knows and notices you. He knows who you are this morning. You've not sneaked in here. Now, I don't know why you're here this morning. Some of you might have been press ganged here. Some of you might have come voluntary. Some of you might come out of respectability. But this Jesus knows you're here this morning. And no matter how badly I feel when nobody else seems to notice me, this story tells us that Jesus sees us. And Jesus walks straight into Jericho. He goes past hundreds of people and he walks right up to this tree where Zacchaeus is. And Luke tells us it's a sycamore tree. It's a precision story. And so we get this little text here. It says, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. And Jesus both stops and he calls him by name. I think it was because Jesus knew Zacchaeus' heart, just like he knows your heart today, just like he knows my heart. And this Jesus wants to say, I know who you really are, but I want to have a chat with you. I want to have a little chat with you. I know who you are. He's noticed every breath you've ever taken. He's felt every thought you ever had. He's seen everything you have ever done. The psalmist says that when you was knit together in your mother's womb, when you were still substance, he says, I knew you. He says, I'm going to ordain every day of your life for you. I know who you are. This is why the crowd didn't like the story. It's personal. And you might feel that others think that you're worthless, but you matter so much to him. He notices every detail about you, every diddy detail, good and bad. On every approval rating, he knows you. In fact, Luke, who tells his story, wants to sort of make it so simple. He uses his text. He says, indeed, the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid, you're worth more than sparrows. You know, when I got a shower this morning, God did a recount because half of it went down the plug hole. He notices everything about me. And Luke wants you to understand with the Zacchaeus story that he knew everything about Zacchaeus and he knows everything about you. You see, the deepest of expression of love is attention. You know, when you was courting, those of you who married, you used to stare at your partner. You can always tell people who are newly married to stare at each other. Those of us who've been married a while look at the telly. I have to be careful. I'm going to go off script, but you know, you know, just as children want to be noticed, so when riding a bike with no hands, or dancing in the lounge, the little boy or the little girl says, "Watch me, Daddy. Watch me, Mummy. I want to be noticed." And I want to say that unless you're not right and created in the image of God, that you want to be noticed. You know, I had a lady in my second church who used to get her milk delivered, and I said, why do you still get your milk delivered? She says, because the milkman's the only man who notices me. I live alone. I can buy my milk cheaper at 99p for 4 litres or 4 pints. But I want to be noticed. And we all want to be noticed. We may not yell it out in words, but we'll do it by ordering the milk from the milkman. But it's vital that we stop depending on other people to feel worthy, to feel noticed. And you and I, as the people of God, need to understand that God notices us. And secondly, Jesus lifts us up in a world that wants to put us down. For all of his life, Zacchaeus had been ridiculed. He'd been rejected both because of his stature, his demeanour, and now his possession. And next thing, Jesus looks up at Zacchaeus in front of this huge crowd and he called him by name. And what equally shocked everybody is Jesus knew his name. Have you ever realised that? We sort of read that. Jesus knew his name. And in spite of Zacchaeus' sin, and that we use that word sin, and Luke wants to say, he likes to use that word, it's not a popular word nowadays, but sin means I'm probably telling you the blatantly obvious now, but those of you who like archery, the centre of an archery target isn't called the bull, it's called the gold. And the Anglo-Saxon word for the gold, the centre of an archery target, is the sin. They used to say, fire an arrow at the sin, and so it means missing the mark. Simply, it's a miss. It's a miss of God's standards and a miss of our own standards. And in this room today, there'll be people who've missed the mark. Or there'll be people who've had some very bad things said about them. There'll be people here who's had some awful things done to them. And they've been told that they're not worth anything. Or they're stupid, or they're ugly. Or all unkind kinds of things. And yet Jesus wants to reach down to you. And he wants to say, I notice you. And the only way you're going to get over your background is to understand you're special to this God. And God can say to each and every one of us this morning, I can see all your value. All your value in spite of what's happened to you. And so thirdly, this Jesus wants you. And so he calls out your name this morning. I think one of the hardest things to understand is that no matter what we've ever done in our lives, God still wants to have a personal relationship because he loves us. Because God loves you. Because he loves you, because he loves you, because he loves you, because he loves you. And so Jesus just didn't walk up to the tree and notice him. He didn't just call out his name and affirm him in front of all these people. He invited himself to Zacchaeus' house for dinner. And so it created a response, and Luke tells us this. He says, all the people saw this. And they began to mutter, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. And the truth is, we're a lot like Zacchaeus. We've all done things that have hurt others, let alone ourselves. And because of that, so often when somebody becomes a Christian, it results in people muttering. They mutter, can you really believe it? If you really knew what they were like. But this Jesus does. Because Jesus is far more interested in forgiving and changing us than he is condemning us. And so hence in John's Gospel we read that this Jesus came to save and not condemn. Jesus is more interested in your future than your past. And no matter what has ever happened in your life, no matter how badly you have been hurt or how badly you have hurt others, Jesus wants to love you and he wants you to love him back. Irrespective of what mess you have collected from birth, you are still infinitely valuable to this God. Now let me demonstrate it to you like this. I'm going to show you something that I don't think any of you will have ever seen before. A Yorkshireman's wallet. Now in this wallet here, I'll take a £10 out. Now I want to say, who wants my 10 quid? I can't believe you must be incredibly wealthy in Chelmsford. I'd have been up here for 10 pence. Now if I had to say to you, right, who wants this £10? But I want to tell you that this £10 has been used to buy some drugs. Who still wants a 10 quid? Don't be embarrassed. Some of you might end up with it. What about if I say to you, well, this £10 was once used to buy the services of a teenage prostitute. Do you still want the £10? What happens if I say to you that this £10 was used to buy a porn channel in a hotel room? When her husband was on a business trip, who wants the dirty £10? Who wants the £10 knowing that this £10 was used for a bribe? Who still wants the £10? Yeah. So if we tear the £10 in two, I'm just going to have a weep. Sorry. Who still wants a £10? And? There we are. And your name is? Menua. Sorry, forgive me, I'm going deaf. Melema, you can have the tenor. You see, Melema has understood something. Melema has understood that no matter what's happened to that £10 in its life, the Bank of England has declared that's still worth £10. And Melema's understood that he can go home and get some sellotape. And no matter how broken the £10 is, he can stick the £10 back together. And he can still spend it. And that's something that we forget in our relationship with this God who met with Zacchaeus through Jesus Christ. That no matter what your journey is, if you've been on the drugs, if you're into porn, if you've been into bribery, if you've used the services of a prostitute, you're still worth the same amount as when you was created. And you can still be put together, no matter how badly you're damaged, with all that same potential, with all that same promise. Because God still values you. Because this God loves you. And there's nothing that you can ever do about that. And that's what the Easter story is all about. And that's why Luke wants to prepare you for Easter by telling you a story of an horrible bloke called Zacchaeus. So how should you respond this morning to this kind of God? Well, actually, God would say you respond to him the way that Zacchaeus did. And Luke says these words, so he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. You see, Zacchaeus took Jesus up on his offer of a relationship and he was changed instantly. Let's look at that. Let's move that on. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house. Because this man too is a son of Abraham. Something had happened after he had an encounter with Jesus in his heart. Because the most selfish man in the city all of a sudden became the most generous man in the city. Because this same Jesus says, wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And Zacchaeus ends up with a new heart. Jesus Christ changed him. That's what happened. You see, then, as now, Jesus says, for those who want to know me for the first time, come. I can give you a new heart. For those of you who've known him a long time, but you've lost your way, he says, come back. I can give you a new heart. He loves the real you, imperfections included. Now, one of my great joys in life is, who likes Dragon's Den? It's one of my favourite programmes. I must admit, for those who don't know it, but Dragon's Den is an investment programme where people have an idea and they go to a panel of four people and they go for some money. Well, in the last series, we met Frances Kahn. And Frances Kahn, she wanted £75,000 for 5% equity in her company called Fit Britches. And to my amazement, I was introduced to the whole new world of elasticated underwear for women. Now, I never knew this existed. I mean, I'm a bloke. And this is what I saw on the programme. And during the programme, I observed the before and after photos of these ladies who'd been forcibly squeezed and forcibly moulded from the outside in. And they changed. But none of them had really changed one iota. You see, Jesus calls us as we are, and he offers us to change us from the inside out permanently. Because Jesus says, look, I want to transform you. I didn't come to make you conform. Jesus transforms, and religion demands confirmation. But this Jesus does it gently, by invitation, not forcibly. He helps us through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And that's what happened to Zacchaeus 2,000 years ago in a world devoid of a company called Fit Britches, when he met Jesus the week before Palm Sunday. Religion says change from the outside in. And Jesus says change from the inside out. And religion wants to conform you, but Jesus wants to transform you. And if you meet with Jesus, your attitudes will change. Your behavior will change. You will think of other people and begin to know this Jesus. You'll begin to love yourself and understand that the future is rosy and that God has great plans in store for those who truly meet Jesus or want to re-meet him. Because Jeremiah had to tell the same people of God 1,000 years early that he has plans. And God would say to you this morning, I have plans for you. I have plans to prosper you. I haven't got plans to harm you. I've got plans to give you hope, and I've got plans to give you a future. And so Jesus called this guy Zacchaeus by name. Does anybody know what the name Zacchaeus means? You see, the key is in the name. It means clean one. It means righteous one. That's why the crowd muttered. They're saying, Jesus, you've got it wrong. You're looking at the wrong person. You're calling the wrong person clean. You're calling the wrong person righteous. But Jesus always calls us according to our potential. You know, a week later, you're going to learn, no doubt, of Lindsay or Lisa about Peter denying Jesus. Understand this, that this Jesus whom you follow, called Simon Peter, knowing he was going to betray Jesus. Because he called Peter to his potential. He called Zacchaeus to his potential. And he calls you this morning to your potential. God knows where you've been, what you've done, but he's more interested in where you're going. And that's the message of Easter. Hence, the event is a pre-Easter event. It's the pinnacle for those who like theology of Luke's gospel. And the pinnacle verse in Luke's gospel is this verse here. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what is lost. And Zacchaeus publicly demonstrated his change of heart. And when you receive Christ, he wants you to publicly demonstrate that you've changed from the inside out. That's why you have baptism. It's an outward display of an inward change. Why haven't you got water in here, Lisa? What happens if somebody wants to be baptized this morning? Because, you know, really, if we believe in a God that can do immeasurably more than we can see or understand, this should never be empty. What a statement we're making here. We've got a vacuum cleaner. No, it's not. Sorry, it's a chrome pipe. I thought it was a vacuum in there. I suppose a vacuum cleans you up, but I prefer baptisms because I'm a Baptist. You know, one of my great privileges over the last couple of years, we've had nearly 40 baptisms in our church in the last couple of years. And it's been primarily a significant number of heroin addicts. I live in Lowestoft now. And Lowestoft has the East Coast Recovery Programme for heroin addicts. Don't think that heroin addicts are all people of what we could say in a politically correct way, low social status. We have very educated people, very middle class people. It knows no bounds. And one of the best treatment programmes in the UK is East Coast Recovery. You can Google it. It's in Lowestoft. And people from all over the country come as private referrals and as NHS referrals. And I've seen addicts come clean, yes, through a good recovery plan. But the difference comes when they have an encounter with Jesus. It's the encounter with Jesus that makes a difference in people's lives. It wasn't the fact that Zacchaeus put his life right. It was the encounter with Jesus. You see, the law only condemned Zacchaeus. The crowd containing the religious only muttered at Zacchaeus. But Jesus transformed Zacchaeus and made him fully and truly righteous. And what we need in our churches is not more policies, not more programs, but we need more encounters with Jesus. We don't want more procedures. We don't want more protocols. We want more power. Power that's given to the church to become the church 6 weeks after Easter at Pentecost. And what you and I need is not more head knowledge, but more heart experience, like Zacchaeus. Most of us are overqualified to be Christians. But Jesus is interested in your heart, not just your head. It's an encounter with Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit that will change Chelmsford. It's an encounter with Jesus and the Holy Spirit that will change you. It's an encounter with Jesus that will change your wayward son, your wayward daughter, your neighbour, your work colleague. And it's only an encounter with Jesus that will allow us to witness immeasurably more than we can see or understand in our own lives and in the lives of our family and friends and in the lives of this community in Chelmsford. You see, recovery without Jesus isn't complete. And religious and ritual without Jesus isn't complete. Now, in our text, we read that Zacchaeus gave back fourfold of his ill-gotten gains rather than twice. You see, the law demanded, Luke tells us this, because the law demanded twice recompense, but Zacchaeus goes beyond the law. And the crowd and Zacchaeus witness an encounter with Jesus always leads to immeasurably more than we can see or we can understand. So what about you this morning? How are you going to respond to him as Jesus talks to you this morning by name? Are you going to let this just be another Sunday where you don't have an encounter with Jesus? Are you going to just drift into Easter as another liturgical calendar event? Or do you want an encounter with Jesus? Do you want to meet this Jesus again this Easter? This Jesus who can do immeasurably more than you can ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within you. Do you want to respond and be baptized and make Easter special? If you're not being baptized, why not be baptized this Easter? You know, we often send people home in curtains in our church. Not always, but we have done. Because we say, do you want to be baptized? We have a baptism full of water. Can't send you home in curtains because you've no water. But you see, in the story of Zacchaeus, he immediately acted. And we need to make space in our churches to catch up with what Jesus is doing and allow people to immediately react. When the people heard the message at Pentecost, they immediately reacted. They didn't enter into a program. They didn't enter into a procedure. They met with Jesus. Maybe you want to shout out this Sunday instead of next Sunday, Hosanna, which simply means Jesus saves us. Zacchaeus was saved 2 weeks before that first Easter. You can be saved in Chelmsford 2 weeks before this Easter. And if you're already saved and you love Jesus, why not this Easter mimic Jesus and become a friend of sinners yourself? I just want to say, it's time the church kept some bad company. Keep a bit of bad company and you'll get a reputation like Jesus. You see, in Luke 3, in Luke there, it says, 7:34, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, here is a glutton and drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Why not invite this tax collector to your home this Easter and see what God will do? I think it's time for the church to keep some bad company and get a reputation like Jesus. I often ponder if it was Jesus' reputation that intrigued Zacchaeus to look out for Jesus, as he pondered, how can this Jesus possibly be a friend of mine? Because no doubt Zacchaeus had heard about Matthew. Because Matthew, one of Jesus' disciples, was a tax collector himself. And I want to say that conversions and encounters with Jesus are contagious. And if Jesus becomes central in your conversations as you gather over a meal with your non-Christian friends this Easter, don't miss Jesus out of Easter. You may end up finishing a meal on a note of joy. And if you've already welcomed this Jesus into your heart some time ago, and you've become complacent in your faith, no longer believing in change, or you've become a religious mutterer, we breed them in Baptist churches, we're good at that. If you're a mutterer in the crowd, why not ask this same Jesus to change your heart this Easter? Because God's got some great plans for you. So my challenge to you is, this Easter, with the help of Lindsay and others, come expecting more to happen. Jesus knows and notices you. And Jesus wants to lift you up in a world that puts you down. And so this Jesus calls out your name today because he wants to do immeasurably more than you can see or understand. He won't impose. He'll only invite you to accommodate his love. And then he'll do immeasurably more. So what are you going to do? Do you trust him enough to climb down from wherever you are? Open your heart fully to him in preparation for Easter. What are you going to do this morning?